This is session number 37 with Bob and Carol, recorded on May 12th, 2009, starting at 4:18 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. I'm going to start off this session with our Medicine with Ion series, and unless you have something to begin with, I'm at the level of bursitis. If you could describe bursitis from source point of view, we usually do a what the disconnection is or what the sentence is, and then a bit about it.
Yeah, it is the bursitis. Easy way to describe it is you got a burr under your saddle. Basically, it is affected from extreme changes, hot to cold, cold to hot, clammy to balmy to, you know, different humidities. Sometimes it's affected from barometric pressures along with climate changes. That's why you get relief from it from a warm heating pad that's moist.
Yeah.
Sometimes that has a reflective benefit. It sort of warms the joint where you've had a burr under your saddle. That leads from a disconnection from the aspect of your joints and muscular, gosh, I want to say dystrophy, but that's not the right word. Atrophy. It's the atrophy, not dystrophy, but atrophy of how those joints and muscles wrap around it. Many times when someone has done a certain kind of work a long, long time and they cease doing it, that atrophy can then turn into a bursitis or literally a burr under your saddle. You're losing that veracity that you had before. And that disconnection sometimes shows up that way. If you're a bowler who's a wonderful bowler and been bowling a long time, and you have an issue where you can't bowl anymore, or you don't, their bowling alley burns down, and there's no other bowling alley to play with, and you live in a country in a climate where it's like cold, and you can bowl where it's warm. When you cease that, you're most likely going to come into a place of that. That would be your easiest expression of that disconnection. Meaning you'd come up with a bursitis because, see, that bursitis is mostly like known about in the shoulders. You don't get like bursitis in your back.
Yes. And good. Very good.
It's mostly in your shoulders and that distension of those muscles. And any atrophy or disconnection that causes that allows that to sort of get into the bone. So that's where the people describe bursitis hurting. They say their bones ache.
Right.
That's why.
Okay. Yeah, that's very nice. Then I have calluses and corns. Is there a way of describing that?
Yes. Yeah. Now you got to go all the way in. Are you going all the way into cracking of the ankles? You know, when the skin builds up and it'll crack. That's the same thing.
You mean at the soles of the feet? That the
yes,
skin?
Around the edges of the bottom.
Oh,
of the
yeah, feet. That'd be nice. Yeah.
Same thing. Okay. Anytime in the dermis that you have an abrasion, okay, the skin, for example, you can have a callus, and they say don't cut it off. Because when you cut it, just like if you prune something, then that sends the regeneration of growth. For example, if you cut yourself or get a needle or a briar or something, it'll fester if it's something foreign. But if not, if you're a chef and you're always cutting, and you extend your index finger on the long blade of your chopping knife, you'll build a callus.
Oh, yeah.
Because of that almost breaking down of the dermis, which says your body heal. So therefore, you get extra layers. Now, some people have calluses that knit. Some Some gardeners have calluses that hold a tool that they use all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it actually is a thickness, just like in the palms of your hand. The whole hand would be a callus because it's thicker than, say, the inside of your arm.
Yeah.
It's always soft.
Mm-hmm.
Because of that friction that says to your body, thicken this dermis up.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now that deals with calluses. So well, I was saying that they say don't cut those calluses off because then you're sending off something that's breached but makes more grow.
Mm-hmm.
You see, so it actually thickens it up even more. What they suggest is that you use the pumice stone or the porous stone, or sometimes you can use a emery board and smooth it. And when you smooth it, then you're causing that exfoliation of those extra layers. And then the body says, oh, well, this is smooth. This is normal. This is nice. Okay, fine.
Mm-hmm.
Bunions would fall into that same thing. If you get a toe joint out of whack, the calluses that form are a protection mode for that bone or joint that kind of gets out of whack.
Mm-hmm.
Shoes that hurt your feet will cause blisters, but then maybe if it's long enough, they turn into calluses.
Right. Actually, I have a personal thing. I have a tiny area of callus on my left little baby toe.
On the outside?
No, it's underneath, not on the outside. It's weird. It's on the underneath where my toe sort of pushes against the fourth toe, and then where they rub together, like underneath the little baby toe, a callus forms because it's sort of rotated a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering if I should just leave that go or...
No, what you need to do is you need to breach that with moleskin.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, I was wondering about that.
Breach it with moleskin.
Uh-huh.
And if you want to, when you take such fast baths, you don't have a soak or honey, you should probably consider it.
Uh-huh.
But spend some more time and rub it with some of that oil, some of the oil that you were looking at for other things that's supposed to be coming in that hadn't quite arrived yet.
Right, yes, exactly.
Use a little of that. And if you don't have that handy, use some sweet oil or some of your extra virgin olive oil. You let that in the house.
Mm-hmm.
Hog tallow works good, too, but I can't imagine you having a pound or so of that.
Right. Yes, it's funny. I haven't been doing all those things because we walk around barefoot, and I didn't want to get all those oils all over the carpets.
That's okay. Do it at night. It'll soak in.
Yeah, you're right.
But anyhow...
And the moleskin, is that... A moleskin with a hole down the middle or just a plain moleskin to cover it up?
Either way, it comes both ways, but you use a tiny, tiny, tiny bit, or you'll cause another problem with why your little toe turns in because you broke it years ago.
Maybe.
No, maybe. You remember. Blue is blue.
Okay, yeah, I think there was a broken toe situation.
And what do you do for a broken toe? Nothing.
Nothing.
Tape it up.
Yeah.
There's nothing to do.
So with the moleskin, am I trying to separate those two little toes from each other?
Yeah. So you don't have that contrast.
Mm.
And then as you soak it and get it soft, then you can take a really smooth or small, fine emery board.
Mm-hmm.
If they don't make it tender now, you'll know it.
I know.
But you can take that, and if you can get underneath it from that edge, and just, you know, you do your yoga position, step going under, go over, then turn the little toe out, then your other hand should easily reach in there.
Oh, yeah, I can get at it. I've been going after it, but, you know, I have been cutting it, and I...
Well, that tells your body that you have had extreme exfoliation, it has to heal, so therefore how does it heal?
It produces more
tissue.
Right.
You gotta remove the contrast by with some moleskin, and then you gotta soften it by smoothing off the rough edges.
Mm-hmm.
Then your body won't reject the build up that the disconnection or contrast caused you to create.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Okay? Now, the heels of your arches at the bottom of your feet.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have that same buildup with skin to such a degree that when it gets so built up, the back of the heel will crack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly the same thing, same process. If you take your pumice stone and keep that smooth, as your feet are very, very soft, which, you know, they'll get crusty if you don't do anything with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we know this because of that reality, but J.W. knows this also because he faithfully goes after his great manicure pedicures.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you learn that once, you never know how good it is until you have your feet moved. You see?
Mm-hmm.
And you can do the mud. They pack them in mud and wrap them up in plastic and let them do and blah, 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 blah. And another one is like witch hazel, but it's not witch hazel. It smells like witch hazel, but it's actually what it is a mint oil.
Mm-hmm.
And for the people who just cannot abide slippery, slimy, mayonnaise consistency, ickiness on their bodiness, you can use mint oil, which almost has a cooling sensation.
Oh, yes.
Like a witch hazel, but not as astringent.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually an oil.
Mm.
And it is fabulous. It opens up the pores.
Mm-hmm.
It smooths all that out. It's not sticky. It absorbs immediately because of the mint mixture. And once you get all that extra crud smoothed off, then coming in with the mint oil, it's fabulous. And that's specifically for the folks who need hydration in the pores of their scaly skin, but cannot, under any circumstances, abide that sticky, slimy,
Well, the sticky, slimy that I've worked with is getting people to soak in castor oil and vinegar. And that's...
Well, the vinegar will cut it, but that's in castor oil. It's not so heavy.
Do it in a
Cornhuskers lotion. Try that. Good.
So that's what I've used most often for that type of callus and heel build up is castor oil and vinegar.
Well, you certainly can, but those the castor oil to buy the amounts that you would need to be able to do that correctly would be a small fortune, would it not?
Not really, because it can be reused over and over again. It just has to be a couple of inches to get at the area.
And you store it how?
You keep it in an old pot or container and just cover it up and put it away and then pull it out and reuse it.
Okay. moving right along. let's see. We did bunions. We did calluses. We did... Okay, now what about those seed warts that can callus over?
Yeah, and we didn't do corns, but yeah, that's we can do seed.
Well, corns are the only difference in that is the corn is seeded.
That's
why they call it corn.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually more like a where the skin grows laterally out, and it's from either a hurt from the joint.
Mm-hmm.
Or a consistent pain.
Mm-hmm.
That happens when you have a pair of shoes that look great with a dress that are fabulously wonderful 6.5-inch stiletto heels, Manolos no less, and they are fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, perfect. But the way that your heel is bent, it causes an excruciating degree of pain because of the way your carpels are attached.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't work. That's when you get a corn because it actually grows from that hurt joint up.
Mm-hmm.
Corns grow laterally. Like if you have a flat piece of skin, you have a corn on it. mm-hmm. that grows from the top of that skin toward north, the sky.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Whereas others wrap different ways. And that's why people rub them, but you can dissolve them with those salicylic acid.
Oh, yeah.
But we don't suggest it. It's pretty dramatic.
Right.
If they're really radical or if everything, if you're prone to them,
mm-hmm.
Typically the gelatinous part of your what nutrient that would cause a gelatinous unfounding, like hooves of cows and hooves of horses, what they make glue out of.
Mm-hmm.
That same mineral, that same compound, that same thing, you also produce a degree of.
Mm.
It sort of shows up that way.
Mm-hmm.
So you figure out what that is and figure out how people ingest that or create that in their system.
Mm-hmm.
And if you find out what it is, we can tell you how to do it. But it's that same process.
Mm.
It would be a part of that same type of compound, you say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And anyhow, so you have to deal with that from a standpoint of using your same pumice. But now, see, if you've got a real sore corn, you're not going to put a pumice to it.
No.
And why is that? Because it comes from an affected joint.
Mm-hmm.
So it has synaptic nerve endings growing through it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're growing laterally.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, you can use, just rub it off with a kukui oil.
Mm-hmm.
Just
mm-hmm.
one
mm-hmm.
swip
mm-hmm.
after you bathe. Mm-hmm. What that'll do is it'll soften it, and the kukui oil, the poisons in the macadamia nut oil,
mm-hmm.
will actually cause a little disconnection in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll sort of trick those nerve endings into not being so hypersensitive.
Okay.
And once that happens, then you can take your emery board. Now, we're not saying a nail file, a metal one. We're talking about, you know, you get them at the manicure.
The orange ones, yeah.
Yes, exactly. That are paper, but they just have a pretty good grid, but
mm-hmm.
it's not so coarse.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just rub it, easy. You're not going to get, you didn't get it overnight, and you're not going to get rid of it overnight.
Mm-hmm.
Go slow.
Okay.
Smooth. Mm-hmm. And then after a little while, once you successfully desensitized it, because then they hurt,
mm-hmm.
and you smoothed them down, because you didn't cut it to make it have to heal, that would send that right up into orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Never make it bleed, never any of that kind, never invasive. We're talking the slow path here.
Mm-hmm.
Just smooth it. Good.
Mm-hmm.
And we would suggest someone who's prone to those to consider having good, clean manicures. Oh, I'm sorry, pedicures. What if you have them on your hand, but not mm-hmm. many people do. But manicures and pedicures weekly until you're under control, and then at least biweekly as just a prophylactic treatment.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Then you always keep it in the middle of the road, and you may still have those same issues, but you won't notice them because your feet are silky smooth.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Righty, and then you mentioned wart. It's a W, but I'll take it here.
Now, yeah, well, warts are that same type aspiration. Typically, in 1,000 milliequivalents of vitamin A,
mm-hmm.
given in a course of, I guess, 5,000 BID,
mm-hmm.
With food preferably because it absorbs easier that way.
Mm-hmm.
If you have what's called a seed wart,
mm-hmm.
that's a wart that has this little vein or black seed in the center.
Oh, right, planter's warts we call them as well.
They will do that, and they'll bleed through,
Yeah.
The vitamin A, we prefer the 5,000 milliequivalents BID
mm-hmm.
just because it gives you more balance to build up, because it's going to be a little shock to begin you with.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a lot to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And then what happens, they're normally in a gel cap, so they're not like nasty. It's not like Bactrim or anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you have a metal taste in your mouth. It's not like that. does is it naturally releases the tendency to create a plantar wart, which sometimes is from a bone spur, or any of that type of level of inflammation. Mm-hmm. So, now, that's also like playing with frogs and getting warts.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the seed warts especially. The vitamin A works great. Otherwise, we decide that that becomes viral.
Yes, yes, yes.
So if it's viral causing that, the easiest, simplest, fastest way to do that, and you can actually buy that over the counter now, is the little spray containers of liquid nitrogen.
Oh.
Breathe the hound out of them.
Oh.
That's the easiest disconnect because it's very topical. It's not systemic.
Mm-hmm.
Meaning the wart's not. It is topical, it's not systemic.
Mm-hmm.
Unless
yeah.
it's a seed wart, and then the vitamin A will work. Okay, are you going to go all the way into condylomas?
Yeah, if you'd like to. Yes, very nice.
Okay. There, I mean, it is it not?
Mm-hmm.
It's a wart, same thing, known as genital warts.
Mm-hmm.
Bedopolin, which we're not sure is over the counter or not, but sometimes so that is a smooth, it's a simple acid.
Mm-hmm.
And what it does is it causes that viral disconnection,
mm-hmm.
which allows, those are very, very, very spreadable, obviously through contact, you see.
Mm-hmm.
But for men folks, it's not a big deal if you deal with them, but for women folks, they can become, in the vaginal walls and can become pretty nasty.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But it's not something you can see, so how do you know to deal with it, you see?
Mm-hmm.
So then it spreads, and then there you go.
Mm-hmm.
But bedopolin works great on that case because it eases and stops the virility of the spread.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now I'm just trying to go back to see if there was a disconnection that we were attributing to calluses, corns, and warts.
It's contrast.
Uh-huh.
Not a disconnection, it's a contrast.
Okay.
You have something, an achy shoe, weird flip-flop that you must have because they look lovely, that causes that to not be settling to your beingness, your body builds up a resistance regarding it.
Yeah.
So that is the nutritional pain.
Now, I would wonder if warts was a bit different.
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Yes. That's the embracing from the dermis. Here we go. Some people can get a great big ugly wart on their nose attributed to witches.
Yeah.
So guess what? If you look in the mirror and you see yourself as a witch, then that photograph then can become part of your reality.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get to a point where you're guilty over your vanity, your body sometimes will put a great big ugly wart on the end of your nose.
Ah. Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, that'll move you into do not collect $200 to the plastic surgeon or to the dermatologist and have that mess whacked right off.
Mm-hmm.
You see, because the olive oleum won't help that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but that doesn't help it. See, that just moves into the place that something you have to dress.
Yes.
Whereas if you powdered it, pampered it, and appreciated it, it'd fall off because the flip side would be the case. You see, I'm a very evil witch, and I know you know I'm a witch because I got a wart on my nose. Well, if you start loving that process, then the wart will fall off because it's like, well, we're not welcome here. So you push against it, and the next thing you know, it gets bigger. Okay, now what about warts that go all the way into the place of a melanoma?
Well, just to go into the condyloma, the venereal warts,
yes.
What is their expression?
I can't get enough.
Mm-hmm.
I can't get enough. I can't get enough. I can't get enough. Those normally show up for folks that are enjoying meeting multiples of partners.
Mm-hmm.
And so just like the human who can't have enough post-coital bliss with anyone, everyone, or anything and everything, those are the ones that bump into those experiences. And just like your, some might say, out of controlness, but I guess that's in the eye of the beholder. But if you get out of control, then you get to a place to where you can't get enough. Well, then you can't get enough, and guess what happens? You get one condyloma, and the next thing you know, you've got a bunch. And they, like your aspiration, can't get enough. And it's not that that's so sexual that that's a big deal. It's because it's a warm, normally covered up, damp space. It's just the perfect breeding ground for that type of disposition. Like your thrush. In your mouth.
Okay, very good. And you talked about going into melanoma.
Well, certain type warts are stemmed from growth, and if you really embrace them, they can then stem from a cellular change. We didn't say degeneration. You wanted us to, but we didn't. A cellular aspect that allows a melanoma, malignant or otherwise, to become a disconnect in the dermis. So, like, for example, you can have a bump or a wart or something, even like on your back. And the next thing you know, it has the blue and red veins running from it, you know, and you can see its little heart beating, and it's crusty, and you're like, ooh. That same thing. Then it leaves the dermis, and some skin become more what you call systemic. But now, most of that is just the dermatology of the aspects of the skin, which is your largest and most precious organ, but nobody sees it that way. But those mostly are also, sometimes you have to whack them out with a chainsaw, but if you'll pay attention as they're going along, the little liquid nitrogen causes that disc separation that allows you to that off, and they'll just fall right off.
Okay. And the disconnection with melanoma?
This thing I don't understand bothers me, but I don't know what to do with it. And I feel powerless regarding it. And I think if I'll ignore it, it'll go away. But I'm really concerned about it. I don't know what's going to be the end of it. It'll make the birds sing. Powerless. Can't deal with it. Think it'll go away. But I give it my undivided attention.
Yeah.
Oh, look, would you see this? Well, would you look at this? This is bothering my back. I don't know what it is, but it's right there. I can kind of feel it. Well, there's nothing there, I know, but I feel something. It's right there. What do you think that is? I've been thinking about it. I don't know what that is, but it kind of bothers me. I never really noticed, but I could reach with my washcloth, and I kind of feel it. It's almost like it's on my bone or something. You know, I've had other people. I know some people who had this kind of thing, and they just died.
And then she died.
And, well, or it caused enough contrast that it had to get dealt with. Or not, you see. But the melanoma then can turn malignant. That's why they get so happy about cutting them out. Because then you don't normally go show them, oh, come look where they cut this out of me, because you don't have it anymore. You see, it's sometimes more comfortable to caress the agony than it is to change the reality.
Wow. Very nice. Okie dokie. And we're up to cancer itself.
What kind?
Well, I mean, I didn't do a whole lot about cancer in my book because I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to be a cancer doctor. So
well, there's nothing wrong with oncology. If you could teach people how to get cancer, no one, not another human being on the planet would ever have it.
Mm-hmm.
If you could teach them how to get it,
mm-hmm.
nobody would do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, you're saying, yeah, but is that what you want to do?
I don't know. I mean, it's a very good point. You brought it up several times about teaching.
We're going to keep beating it a little bit, don't we?
yeah, you're really big on that. And, yeah, I mean, I'm going to tackle it a bit in the IBS book.
Okay.
And see if I can make sense of it and maybe ask you about it. But, yeah.
So, in this case, you're talking about what cancer is, right?
Yeah.
Now, is this malignant or benign?
Malignant.
What's the difference?
I guess cancer is cancer, and then when people put a lot of attention to it, it can start going malignant.
Well, but, so, non Hodgkin's lymphoma
mm-hmm.
is different than Hodgkin's disease. How?
I don't see that there's any difference.
Well, but there is. Even the consort of treatment is different.
Wow. I mean, it still frightens people. They still develop a fear of it. They still take chemo. They still probably get some surgery for it. So how is it different?
Because of how you treat it. One you treat with radium and one you don't. One can be corrected in the bone marrow and one can't.
Hmm.
One, you have to completely kill the immune system so you could do a bone marrow transplant.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it'll reject it even if you have a perfect match.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you take your own stem cells from your teeth and create the new cells that replace the unirradiated cell and correct it, that whole dynamic, okay, that's enough of that. Let's get back to what cancer is.
Mm-hmm.
Cancer is powerlessness.
Okay, yeah.
Every single time, without fail, without exception.
Mm-hmm.
Every individual who ends up with a cancer, breast cancer, pancreatic cancer, tumors, lymphomas, Hodgkin's disease, leukemia,
mm-hmm.
On and on and on and on and on and on and on. All that is.
Prostate cancer too?
Prostate cancer, absolutely, absolutely. It's an enlarging, we'll just do that one. That enlarging, the swelling, the pressure, that I'm getting older, I'm not virile, I can't enjoy and pleasure my mate anymore, or let's say you have the happiest mate in the world, then you get to a place after a little while, guess what happens? You get afraid that you can't please your mate anymore, and then you lose your power regarding your own manhood when that gets in question, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Pancreatic cancer, colon cancer, skin cancer, blah, 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 blah. Okay, all that is, that disconnect comes from your place of powerlessness.
Mm-hmm.
The survivors, the reason that they're so proud that they fought the war against cancer
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
is because something happened that caused them to be resilient,
mm-hmm.
you see.
Mm-hmm.
It caused them to be an overcomer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reality is there was nothing to overcome. But now they're really blissed out that they were able to overcome it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's just old-timey disappointment.
It's what, sorry?
Old-timey disappointment.
Old-timey disappointment?
Old-timey. Back in the olden days.
Old-timey.
Old-timers.
Yeah.
Old-timers. Old-timers.
Timers.
Old-timey. Old-timey.
Yeah, old-timey.
Got it.
Now, let me give you a specific... No, let me give you a specific example.
Yeah.
One of your vessel's relatives, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll keep the tape clean so you won't have to do so much editing.
Mm-hmm.
One of his relatives was convinced in the 40s to purchase a cancer policy.
Uh-huh.
It was really great back then because there wasn't much cancer in the 40s. So
yeah.
The payout on that policy was extreme. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Because it would be like buying in the 60s, buying an AIDS policy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We'll do this and this and this if you get the AIDS. And you go, they go, well, I want to get that. And they go, great, we don't even know what it is. So, yeah, that's
yeah.
great. And so the actuaries that run the numbers on those kind of policies are kind of at a disadvantage, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe the flu of the swine. You could buy a policy on that before
right.
there was such.
Right.
Anyway, this relative bought that policy,
mm-hmm.
paid for it, and then got very discouraged and disappointed and saved every penny that they could ever save in their livelihood
mm-hmm.
in case, because cancer was all there was.
Mm-hmm.
Even if you had hundreds of thousands of dollars saved. Now, these were people through the Hoover administration, so they knew what a south sound a dollar was.
Mm-hmm.
So they understood that value. So they knew they had to have a bunch of money because it could take everything you got.
Mm-hmm.
Just clean you out. And then you die anyway. Clean you out.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to save everything you can, and you buy the policy.
Mm-hmm.
That pays you if you get the cancer.
Gosh.
Well, guess what?
He got cancer.
after a little while, well, no, actually, they didn't get cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And then they got kind of crossways. If they were paying these exorbitant $5 a year premiums on this cancer policy,
mm-hmm.
that they hadn't got a lick's bit of good out of it.
Yeah.
So it was just a very short window of time that here come the cancer. And this was actually later, it was much, many, many, many years later, but it was back in the days when if you had multi-insurance policies,
mm-hmm.
they would pay multiply.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, you know, it only covers, if it's a $100,000 cancer, each policy divvies it up based on their level of participation.
Mm-hmm.
So the only amount that all the total insurances pay is up to 100%. You
mm-hmm.
see what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
You understand, but back in those days, 80s, you could have 5 policies and 5 policies would pay.
Right, right.
They were separate indemnity.
Yeah.
So this rolled along till finally colon cancer was just the easiest choice.
And this is after he stopped the policy?
No, she still had the policy.
She, yeah. Oh, okay.
Oh, hell yeah. She wanted that money out of that policy. She wanted at least her premiums back.
Yes.
So she has this pretty nasty, horrible colon cancer.
Mm-hmm.
And it was getting pretty serious. Well, they decided they go right in there and they just cut that cancer right out. No problem.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the old people's Medicare. They have an F policy supplement, which pays the other balance.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have this little cancer policy. And that all those bills got filed up and settled up and done. It was about $100,000. It was sent right in. And it was they had a few caps and limits on the different prospects that was about it.
Yeah.
But anyway, it paid an extra $44,000. And once that got paid and settled, they never had any more trouble with cancer again.
Yeah. Wow.
And
yeah.
See, that's an empowering disconnection.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Why would you go through the notions? What would you have to be thinking to buy a policy for cancer?
I know. Wow.
See, that's that process. And then you're disappointed that you never used it.
Mm-hmm.
That seems like a waste, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, just that's one example, which is way different when you're talking about disconnection or connection or resistance regarding cancer.
Mm-hmm.
Did I finish that all, or is that just that part?
Well, cancer is a disconnect that comes from your place of powerlessness.
Every time.
Yeah, that's probably a good, that's a good overview. I think if we do more, we'd have to probably look at the various cancers, but...
Every single one. That's why I was saying enough of that. We just do the generality of the
okay.
B part. And then when the L part of leukemia pops up, then fine.
Because
we kind of have done melanomas in different aspects and different things to chat with. So,
well, I don't think I have leukemia in my list, so let's go ahead and do it now if we could.
No, keep your flow, because if you start that division,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to break that down into the cellular level. It's still a disconnect, except it becomes an issue of the blood.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
And so that's going to take a whole nother... You're gonna get into the nephrology of the whole thing, and that's a whole different process.
Okay. Then the next one is candidiasis or yeast overgrowth.
Okay. Typically, and it's also men, folks. That's a big problem.
Uh-huh.
That women get that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's not. It's men, folks too. And here's how they know. They'll have the really, really, really red on the inside of their groin,
mm-hmm.
And it'll spread, and it'll come out, be a large, and can thicken,
mm-hmm.
and sometimes be like a whelp or like a heat rash.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Can be very, very painful sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
That candida can also get in your mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it can get, if you have some that have the irregular or deviated septum,
mm-hmm.
they also can catch it in the nose follicles.
Right, yeah.
Which is not so typically normal.
Mm-hmm.
And you also can get it in your eye.
Mm-hmm.
Called pink eye.
Mm. So pink eye is not so much a bacteria?
Well, it ends up as a bacteria, but it comes in from a yeast producing mm-hmm. psyllium that creates or holds or attracts the bacteria.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
But see, the yeast is communicable just as the pink eye is contagious.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you ain't having sex with somebody who's got candida, you mm-hmm. won't get candida most likely.
Yeah.
Now, you can get it anyway when you have a disturbance of the flora and the fauna.
Mm-hmm.
But what that's all about is I'm fertile, I'm not fertile, I am a great sticky sponge to anything that passes by.
Hmm.
But some people have just horrible time with that. They keep the monostat all the time.
Mm-hmm.
You see, to balance that.
Right. So being a sticky sponge for anyone or anything that passes by.
What's the difference?
So is it that they get infected or that's a psychological, they're sponging?
It's a psychological disconnection. Sometimes good mothers who won't let go.
Yeah, yeah.
That'll pick up strays and try to solve everybody's issues in the world.
Mm-hmm.
They're a good candidate.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So if I had someone who had yeast and kept on having it and we tried all kinds of things, how do you approach them with this information? How do you drop the bomb on them?
No, it's really easy. It's, honey, what is it that you're thinking that's drawing all this to you?
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about your home life. How does that work? What draws your what actually draws or moves you with compassion?
Mm-hmm.
And they go, teenagers that are thrown out of their homes,
mm-hmm.
that they have these problems, and then they drag them in and drag them in and drag mm-hmm. them in, and then the next thing you know, looking for love in all the wrong places,
mm-hmm.
just for finding that place of comfort.
Mm-hmm.
you see, or in any type of drawing of getting into everybody else's problems so you can empathize with them.
Mm-hmm.
Empaths have that problem if
mm-hmm.
they don't know how to clear.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, if you're going to go to the house of ill repute that's not very clean, be sure and use a good herbicide when you get out.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, a little betadine couldn't hurt, right?
Right.
You understand with betadine, you can't, that particular yeast cannot live.
Well, that's the iodine. Yeah, that would be excellent.
Exactly. But see, mm-hmm. when you say that in that level, all of a sudden it was everything, every hair on your body said, wait a minute now. You had to have magnesium to straighten that out.
No.
But you see what I'm saying? The topical aspiration is an action that allows you to recognize your stickiness. I didn't say neediness, I said stickiness.
Mm-hmm.
But some people who are needy get sticky.
Mm-hmm.
But not necessarily the other way around.
Mm-hmm. So when you said topical is an action to recognize your stickiness?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
You realize that you have yeast.
Uh-huh.
And if you realize that if you have an action, which is betadine, right, one, there are many, okay?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't suggest swabbing the inside of the uterus with betadine.
Mm-hmm.
It won't be so comfortable, we promise.
Right.
However, many of the monostats work very marvelously for balancing that type stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about female inside stuff, but men folks can get that too, you see.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it can even get weepy.
Yeah, I guess it's just the sentence that I'm having trouble with.
No, I'm trying to get...
Topical is an action...
Yes.
So you're meaning putting a topical application on it.
Yes.
Treats your stickiness.
No.
That's all you're saying. No?
No. That's why we're trying to beat this a little bit to get you to the next place so that it would make sense.
Right.
If you find your stuff sticky.
Yeah.
All right. And you haven't figured out why you're sticky.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know what moves you with compassion to drag mm-hmm. these weirdos into your experience,
mm-hmm.
or you find this uncontrollable urge or need to attract everyone in your experience,
mm-hmm.
or get involved in everybody's problems,
mm-hmm.
or converse to the very end of the world of how Myrtle got into this trouble.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
If you do all that, right?
If you do all that consistently, you'll find yourself a marvelous breeding ground for candida.
Mm-hmm.
See, you set a nice petri dish for it to culture.
Yes, but then when you say topical is an action to recognize your stickiness,
that's
all I'm trying to guess.
I know, and that's why we had to get that rest of that in there for the causal. If you come to a place where you realize that you have a huge degree of halitosis,
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, we know what that is. That's potty mouth.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Well, you can, if you recognize potty mouth, you can take a mouthwash, and that's an action. And what it does is it releases you from conjuring these germs of this filth coming out of your mouth,
mm-hmm.
which is a putrid smell.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing. If you topically apply a betadine solution, pretty stout,
mm-hmm.
that will be a reaction that reminds you that if nasty things come out of your mouth, the next thing you know, your breath will smell nasty.
Mm-hmm.
And that topical can remind you to not be quite so enthralled with dealing with everybody's issue that just drags along.
And how will it remind you of that?
Because you're taking an action, you're taking an action that you're having, that anybody that you go to sleep with would recognize because it kind of leaves a red stain. And then they go, what is this? Oh, well, I drow icky people close to me, and I make them sticky enough, read on their misfortune or unfortune. And so I use this to kill that back. And
so this is someone who's been told the disconnection that they're having, and then they take an action to deal with it, and then that action...
To recognize that disconnection.
Right, right, okay.
And so when they have this discharge and this ickiness, and it's not comfortable because it's probably one of the more itchy things in the whole wide world, and you can't be really scratching unless you're in a really fun party. Do you see what I mean? It's a reminder.
Yeah.
And isn't it amazing that when it's the most itchy and the most icky is when you're in a group of people, a setting, but it's the most uncumbersome to address? See what I mean? It never happens when you're in bed. It always is when you're in the middle of a dinner party or a board meeting and you just got a scratch. You see? And then you add the pressure of that can't scratch makes it even worse. But if the betadine is an action that you can do beforehand, it reminds you to just be easy with all that attraction of this, to being so sticky to pick up anything that comes by. See, so then what happens, that action, and then we're talking about yeast infection, candida, with betadine, and there are other things too. That's just a real easy way, because of the iodine having a reactionary causal disconnection from the growing of more candida.
Yeah, yeah, very good.
You see, dicotazole sometimes helps with that too. If you're in a tender place that it's not quite betadine straight out. Bob is just kind of laughing because he's like, I don't know. I don't think I want to know. I don't.
He's fine with it.
I'm going to enjoy reading it.
Yeah.
Which you said months ago. Bob, yeah. Love reading this.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go.
I'm going to be so impressed. Oh, holy cow.
There you go.
I'm getting some of it when I don't fall asleep.
Bob, I get a chance to drive Bob to sleep with this.
But I find it very impressive. The medical stuff is almost ions, coup de grace. I mean, all the details.
No, it's not. That's the least. That's the least. What's happening is that comes straight from Ms. Dean 101.
But Carol doesn't think about that, but it's all lodged in her brain, right?
Absolutely, because that's why it flows so easily. And even those concepts, because we don't have a clue.
Okay,
we've never died of it, so we don't know anything about it.
Okay, it's 5:11. I've got to do the Skype at 5:15. Why don't you guys, if you finished, end that point. Carolyn goes to the pool. I do 40 minutes of Skype, and then I'll back with you at 5 to 6. What do you think, Carol?
I think so. I mean, we've done almost an hour, and that's usually a good time for me, so...
Maybe only about 45 minutes, but...
No, it's 52 minutes.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah. Okay, Ion?
Any more finishing things?
No, I got everything about the yeast, and that's excellent. Perfect.
Very, very, very good. The hope, okay, very good. One little side note, connection to love...
Yeah.
Dissipates all disconnection of illness.
Okay.
Ill, when you're ill.
Yeah.
And then grumpy. And then disconnected. And illness. It's about as much fun as a disease.
Yeah. Yeah.
Birds even like that one.
Yeah.
That'll fit in, but we had to have a little... binomial nomenclature to get you back to source.
Okay, yes. And I'll pick that up the next time. Grumpiness is an illness.
And we are complete.
Oh, thank you. Bye-bye.
Hooray. Okay, Skype you, Bob.
Okay. All right, thanks a lot, JW. Any pictures?
It's into your time. So you're going to call me back. You'll call me back for the radio thing.
Yeah, it's 5 to 6.
Thank you.
No problem. I'll see you then.
Okay, bye.
Good timing.